Good morning, and welcome everyone to Live Dharma Sunday for January 22nd, 2012. This is Reverend Koyo Kobose. I'm so glad you've all joined us. You know, the last couple of days here in Central California, it's been raining, and most of December and January, no rain, and wintertime is the rainy season here, so it's been very dry, and last year, we got a lot of rain, and I couldn't help but thinking that, you know, each year is different weather-wise. Sometimes you get a lot of rain, sometimes you don't, and it kind of surprises me. It shouldn't surprise me, but... And the same thing in my garden, since I'm not experienced and I'm just learning. So I had thought, oh, I'll learn what kind of crops grow here and what the situation is and so forth. So a couple of years ago, I said, oh, these kind of vegetables grow good here. I had a good crop. But then the next year, they didn't grow good. So what's going on? You can't even depend upon past experience on something like that. So just like farmers, I think, they're very tuned into weather, and they don't take anything for granted. You know, sometimes you hear, oh, this only happens once in 10 years or once in 100 years. But it seems like if we really pay attention, we see that the weather and many of our activities, we can't take for granted that things are constantly changing. So how much more so in daily life? It seems like there's a tremendous continuity or constancy. You know, the sun rises and everything, but it doesn't rise in the same every day. Every sunrise is different, and every sunset is different. You know, sure, certain things happen, but the way they happen are very different. And it makes life very exciting. And, well, let's begin today with our guest to give us a Dharma glimpse, Gio Sayo Sugrains of Orlando, Florida. And he was part of our LM3 group. You know, all of our lay ministers, after they become lay ministers, they join this what we call a Trailblazers group, which is a resource organization for our Bright Dawn lay ministers. And they give Dharma glimpses. They help out with our lay ministry program, course facilitators, and they help each other. And they have a continuing education program so that they can each person's choose a book, and they have teleconferences so that they can continue their reading and doing of reports and so forth. They have their officers elected, and Sayo Sensei is the current president-elect of the Trailblazers. So, without further ado, Sayo Sensei.
Good morning, everyone. So the title of my glimpse for today is Paradise. You know, the idea of paradise, it can be found in many traditions and cultures. You know, in some way or form, many people seek to experience sort of paradise or heavenly realms and so forth. You know, some traditions focus on paradise as something that occurs in the afterlife, and for others, paradise is experienced in, you know, some future event after developing some kind of spiritual attainment. You know, many spend their entire lives in the hopes of searching for paradise. For some, paradise is an external place, you know, somewhere out there located in the cosmos. But today I wanted to talk a little bit about the paradise within, but can paradise be experienced, here and now? Some people would say with all these different things going on in the world, the economy and wars, can there really be, paradise right here and now? And the funny thing is whenever I sort of the topic of paradise arises, I'm always reminded of a song from the movie Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, which is one of my all-time favorite childhood movies. And just to be clear, I'm referring to the one with Gene Wilder, 1971. And in the movie, Willy Wonka sings a song that I revisit every now and then, and the song is titled Pure Imagination. For me, the part that stands out the most is when he sings, "If you want to view paradise, simply look around and view it. Anything you want to, do it. Want to change the world? There's nothing to it." And these words have always resonated with me. I literally took the meaning of the words to be true. If you want to see paradise, I don't have to wait until I die or attain some divine state of existence or go somewhere. I can see and feel it right here and now. I can experience it within. Even in times of trouble or illness, I can view paradise. And that sounds odd, but for a lot of times when I get sick, I actually enjoy it. It's a time for me to, chill out, relax. Maybe I was going too fast, maybe doing something too much, and now the end result is I'm sort of sick. But I see sickness as a great teaching tool. So again, being sick can actually be paradise for me. How can we develop this paradise? Well, like the song suggests, just look around and see paradise. In the Buddhist text of Dhammapada, the Buddha teaches us that we are what we think. All that we are arises with our thoughts. With our thoughts, we make the world. So if you see, if you yourself sort of create paradise within, this is sort of what comes at you, sort of what manifests. And there's a quote that I have taken from Reverend Gilman's teachings, which I read every day sort of as a reminder to myself that I can choose to live in paradise every day. And Reverend Gilman in the book The Center Within reminds us that nirvana is everyday life. Nirvana is suchness. The world, the everyday world, appears chaotic or peaceful, ugly or beautiful, depending on our own minds. We make the world the way we want to in our minds. An ugly and nervous mind cannot see beauty and peace in the world. Our world is the reflection of our own minds. So again, if we have this mind of oneness, the mind that sees sort of the beyond, dualistic notions and forms, concepts, sort of beyond good and bad, a mind that sort of rests in the absolute of wisdom and compassion, the world around us manifests as paradise. Even with all the things going on, there is paradise. We understand that all these things that arise are brought upon by causes and conditions. So we move out the ego, and there's paradise. It's right there, sort of waiting to be discovered, to be found, right here and now. We see all events arising from the suchness of life. We see quality. We see balance. Paradise is change, and paradise is dynamic. So when there is peace in the mind, there is peace in our world. So, we see paradise in all things. And when we see things in sort of through the eyes of paradise, you will be in paradise here and now. So, remember what Willy Wonka said, if you want to view paradise, just simply look around and view it. So I guess I'll see you all in paradise. And thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. I was thinking as I listened to the Dharma Glimpse, and it struck me that when I was talking about how the weather constantly changes, I said, yeah, paradise is constantly changing too. We might think of like heaven and hell or, in addition to where is it, whatever it is, it's not something that stays the same. And that really gave me an insight. There's a phrase that a Dharma friend used to say, the same road that leads to heaven it's the same road that leads to hell. Maybe it's like a door. There's only one door. And on one side of the door, the sign says heaven, and the other side says hell. So it depends upon what direction you're going. It's the same road, though. But maybe that's not a real good analogy or metaphor, because it's the same road. It depends upon which way you're going. But no, it's a better point to make is that something that you think is a strength can become a weakness. Something that you think is paradise, is great, if you latch on to it, or when times change, or when you change, it becomes a liability. All kinds of examples like this. I was thinking about some about gambling the other day, and there are many instances of people when they go to a casino. The first time you go, the worst thing that could happen is you win pretty good, pretty big. You don't know what you're doing, and you know, try it out, and you have pretty good luck. Now you're hooked, and maybe gambling becomes a big problem. You never recapture that beginner's luck that you had. Maybe in a relationship, someone says, oh, so-and-so is so kind and considerate. You know, this is your strength. This is your good quality. That same quality later on, you know, 20, 30 years later, the spouse is saying, why are you so, maybe not in these words, but why are you so gentle? Why don't, sometimes you need a little firmness. You know, you're sort of like you're too understanding. Why don't you, where's your personality? So a strength becomes a weakness. Oh, I remember my father's, one of his articles, it's titled Black is White. Something, I remember from his article, he says, well, the listener might say, well, what do you mean black is white? Black is black and white is white. He says, well, no. By black, meaning something dark, something bad, some unfortunateness, whereas white might mean, you know, bright and pure and clean. So when something unfortunate happens later on, it might be very fortunate, and vice versa. White is black. We've been saying that, oh, something that's good becomes something bad. It's constantly dynamically changing. You remember a movie called Tender Mercies with Robert Duvall? He's a musician. There's a tremendous line in there where he says, never trust happiness. Oh, man, I think this is the same point there. Whatever you're working for in life, some goals or how to be happy, oh, if only I had this, I'd be so happy. If I had the right job, had a lot of money or whatever. And oh, there's the other saying, it's the worst thing that could happen is your fondest dreams come true. Those things are pretty deep, these kind of sayings. Sort of Shakespearean-like, you know, they really hit at a truth in life, human life. How about, I remember I gave a Dharma talk about, well, I guess about heaven and the idea of, well, let's say, you know, you hear angels playing harps so beautifully, right? Angels are in heaven. Beautiful music. Isn't that great? But forever? How about for a golfer making a 50-foot putt? But in heaven, it always goes in. Would that be challenging? Would that be exciting? I remember when I was at a It was an interfaith retreat. We were in, I can't remember the town in Minnesota, and there was about half a dozen or eight of us. St. John's campus, they had a ecumenical center there on that campus in Minnesota, and so I was representing Buddhist, and there was a lady that was representing Hindu, there was two Jewish, one Orthodox, and one, there was, of course, Catholic, Protestant. And during the course of our interacting together, I remember the Hindu lady said, we were talking about whether something is good or bad. You know, value, what is the value to us? And value judgments, I guess. She said, well, it always depends on person, place, and time. Now, that statement really struck me, and I kept it close to me. It's always helped me a lot. Because we're always arguing about this or that, or, you know, or trying to capture something and keep it one way for ourselves. And that gets us in all kinds of trouble and suffering. Well, is something black or white, good or bad, strength or weakness, heaven or hell? Well, it depends on person, place, and time. Who are we talking about? What holds for one person may not hold for another. What holds at one time is going to change over time and in a different situation, place. Even for ourselves, we're going to be different people maybe a year from now. Will we hold the same values in the same way? Don't we show variability right now in different situations? Same person. This is a constant, dynamic, changing. So when we like to think, oh, heaven, you know, if we say it's within, here and now, within, well, it also holds that heaven within me, I'm changing, so heaven is changing too. And fortunately, when we're in hell, well, as the saying goes, that'll pass too. So both the good and the bad constantly changing. The suchness of life. I remember one time my father was in the hospital and they had to put in a C-line. You know, if you're in the medical field, you might know. Instead of having to inject the person to take the blood or to give medication, when he's pretty sick, they don't want to have to be doing this all the time. So they put in sort of a permanent line into the vein or artery. Then they could just come in and, you know, do what they need to do because it's already in there. But it's a very painful thing to put in this C-line or A-line, this different terminology. Very painful. They have to put that thing into one of the blood vessels there, up in there, and very painful. I don't know why they don't give something to take the edge off or something, and it's extremely painful. I was at his bedside, and the nurse is there holding his arm, and the doctor's doing this, and I guess it must have lasted about 15 seconds maybe, which is a pretty long time when it's painful. And I was trying to comfort him, and I was trying to tell him, they told me it was painful. So I said, hey, Dad, you know, they're going to do this procedure. And I explained it. And I said, and it's going to be very painful. So, you know, be prepared, buck up or whatever. And I don't think he really realized what it was was going to be like. And so they started it, and he started yelling, and he started shaking his head, saying, no, 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 you know. Man, I felt really bad. And I said, hey, if I had, when I experienced his discomfort, I said, man, that's not worth it. I don't care. I'm going to tell my sons if they ever going to do that to me. I said, no, if I'm in such a bad situation that I have to have that, is it worth it to go through that, you know, when you're so seriously sick? I mean, is it really necessary? I mean, you know, am I being manipulated by the medical system? Why don't you say, no, find another way, or give him something to, so he doesn't have to feel that kind of pain. But my point about this is, after it was finished, just a few minutes afterwards, my dad smiled broadly and he says, wow, that was something. This was a great teaching to me. I was hanging on to the negativity of that pain, extreme pain, and he felt it. But when it was over, he let go of it. And he even, you know, could marvel at, wow, that was so terrible. That was really something. And he was kind of chuckling. I said, well, you know, something about that. He was really always in the now, you know. Extreme hell and then extreme heaven. It was over, and then he even reflected, wow, that was something. Well, that's all for today's broadcast. I don't mean to end on such a painful thing, but until next time, we always have to keep going. And until then, you have a very beautiful Sunday. Thank you.